section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Hello, my name is George Takei. Before we get started, we would like to remind everyone that this show is for entertainment purposes only. 3/4 of this crap is total BS anyway. The views and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of the hosts and should not be associated in any way with our guests and sponsors. If you are easily offended, we recommend you press stop right now. But if you do, you will deprive yourself of the most amazing auditory orgasm. And who doesn't enjoy a good auditory orgasm? Oh my. Welcome to It Burns When I Pee.
Welcome to the dirty stalls of It Burns When I Pee. For the past 6 years, the podcasting god,
hallelujah,
Blake Clayton, has brought you the best music, interviews, and comedy on the interweb. So sit your asses down, grab a hold of those handicap rails, grab a cocktail, and enjoy our next generation of auditory dysentery. Join Blake and his revolving door of cast members as they bring you another fucked up episode of It Burns When I Pee.
1, 2, 3, 4. When I turn my radio dial, I hear it's pop country. Oh, corporate jerk, sure, get on my nerves. That ain't country to me. Now it burns when I pee. It burns when I pee. That's what Nashville did to me. So let's take a piss on the Nashville music fest. Cause now it burns when I pee.
Follow that, bitch.
To the nights I can't remember and the things I won't forget. Should have been dead a long time ago, but they ain't got me yet. Oh, blessed be the bad ones like me. Blessed be the bad ones like me. What you started, I'm here to do just that. God just might forgive you, but you know that I can't. Oh, blessed be the bad ones like me. Blessed be the bad ones like me. Town to do what I've got to do. Ain't no more looking back from me. My sights are set on you. Oh, blessed be the bad ones like me. Blessed be the bad ones like me. Blessed be the bad ones like me.
Thank you.
nights I can't remember and the things I won't forget. Should have been dead a long time ago, but they ain't got me yet. Oh, blessed be the bad ones like me.
Welcome, everyone, to another gripping episode of It Burns an IP. I am your host, Blake Clayton, and we have with us, for the first time ever, we have an author. So we have somebody that knows how to read and knows how to write. Anyway, we have Neil Hamilton, the author of Outlaws Still at Large, a saga of roots country music since 1970s. How are you, Neil?
I'm doing great, Blake, but I'm not so sure that I do know how to read, but I appreciate the compliment anyhow.
There you go. So, what made you dive into writing a book about outlaws in music?
Well, I could just say craziness and leave it at that, you know, and that might be the full explanation. But it actually was kind of a personal crisis that I was going through about 3 years ago. I was very close to my mom, and she passed away. And just kind of searching for, I guess, a reason to be, and also a way to escape some of the pain. So I turned to those 1970s outlaws that I was most familiar with, David Allan Coe and William Whalen and Johnny and Billy Joe and so forth, and from there launched into the current artists.
Sure. So had you ever written a book before?
Yes. Actually, I've written 12 books, but 10 of those are pretty academic, and I also did a picture book on baseball and another book on the baby boomer generation. So, you know, this is really the first time I've tried to do a book of this type.
Sure. And from the time you decided to write this book till the release, I mean, how much time did you spend on it?
The book itself, I spent about 2 years total traveling, interviewing, transcribing interviews, and doing some research for the early part of the book that's more historical and gets into those earlier outlaws and some overview of the country music when it first began. So it took me about 2 years total.
So putting all that time into a book and researching the book, it obviously consumed a lot of your time and personal life. How was the support from your family and friends during this?
Consumed a lot of, not just a lot of time, really, but a lot of emotion. There are a lot of emotions wrapped into it. With regard to my mom, with regard even with the artists themselves and my experiences with them, but my wife, Leslie, she is really the one who encouraged me to go forward with the project and gave me support. She's not a huge outlaw country music fan by any means, but she knew that I needed to go this route, and so she supported me, and that meant a lot.
Awesome. Well, now let's get into the nitty-gritty of the book. I mean, first, how did you come up with the list of people that you had interviews with in the book? How did that list come together?
Right. Well, when I got into listening to the newer artists, for the most part, the artists are in the book are the ones that I started listening to even before I met them. And in some instances, even before I fully decided to go ahead with the book. And the only criteria I had, now in a couple of instances, it was just happenstance, talking to one artist and it leads to speaking with another artist and that type of thing. But the main impact was how that music, which I consider to be music from the heart, more than from the wallet or the pocketbook, was affecting me at that time of personal crisis.
Sure.
And, you know, some people may say, well, such and such a person is not in the book, should be in the book. I don't argue against that. It's just either I didn't know about the person at the time or their music, although very, very good, just wasn't affecting me as was the music from these other musicians.
Sure. You know, and like I said, you interview a number of artists, just a couple of them, Shooter Jennings, Leroy Virgil from Hellbound Glory, and all the way to Joey Alcorn. What is one thing that they all had in common, in your opinion?
Yeah, man, that's some diverse music, isn't it?
Yeah.
sincerity, really heartfelt sincerity. And honesty to what they were doing as artists.
Oops.
And that's it. Yeah.
Sometimes it's just plain and simple. You know what I mean?
Well, it was really a heart to heart thing.
Sure.
Their heart touching mine, and that's. If they were a Jason Aldean type, Brantley Gilbert or whoever, it wouldn't have worked for me.
Sure. The music that they were playing definitely reflected what you were going through and you could associate with them.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm not trying to claim, you know, that, you know, I was like, I wasn't, in fact, like them, outlaw musician on the road or even outlaw writer on the road or anything like that. I didn't really know what that experience was about. This is all a learning thing for me. Their music touched me. And then when I spoke with them, what they had to say touched me.
Sure.
And that was all the most important thing.
So, although he's mentioned in the book a few times, there's no dedicated section devoted to Hank III, who many would consider the catalyst, I guess, for the new era of outlaws in roots music. Did he decline, or did he never fit like in what you were trying to accomplish with the book?
I never approached him. He just didn't. I like a lot of Hank III's earlier music, especially. And in fact, when I was going through that personal crisis, I was listening to some of his stuff, but it never quite touched me in the way that these other artists did. Now, for somebody else, that might be completely, totally different. And for that other person, that other writer, or that other listener, or what have you, definitely have them on your list. You know, I'm not trying to dictate, hey, this is the list of the best artists or something like that. And I do want to point out the subtitle to the book is A Saga of Roots Country Music mm-hmm. Since the 1970s. It's not a history.
Sure.
By any means, you know.
And so in the context of music, what is your definition of the word outlaw?
Wow. Let's see. I got 15 artist profiles in that book of current artists. I think I got 15 definitions.
Right.
Again, to me, it's heartfelt music. It's sincere music. It needs to be a musician who is not playing to the audience, but playing for the audience what he or she happens to be feeling and thinking. Also, to me, there needs to be a certain amount of creativity, and there has to be a connection to the roots.
Sure.
You know, you got Joey Alcorn, who, of course, is strongly connected through a very traditional music attachment to Hank Williams Sr. Others may not be so strongly attached without some other intervening influence like punk music, punk rock, or something like that. But nevertheless, the attachment is there, and they feel it. Even when they're not playing it directly, they still feel that attachment to the roots.
So in the first part of your book, you spend some time, and you had just mentioned it, talking about some of the original outlaws of country music, such as Waylon Willie, David Allan Coe, and Johnny Paycheck. Was it difficult for you as an author to have to compress their stories to set up for your main theme of the book?
Yes, yes, it was. And I went back and forth on the formatting for the book quite a bit. And, you know, it actually opens not with a historical figure, but it opens with Jackson Taylor. Sure. So I put him first because he was the catalyst for the book and the first person really that I interviewed to any extent, and wanted that to kind of say to the reader, you know, this is not going to be a history book. Here it is. It's going to be a book about my personal experience, what happened to me with these artists on the road, that type of thing. And then kind of backtrack to, well, this is the foundation for what they're doing and get into that history, but compressing that in order to fit in those other artists was enormously difficult, and just as difficult as trying to compress salute to other artists who are currently performing that I did not profile in the book.
In interviewing and spending time with all these different artists while you were doing the book, what is one thing that you took away personally? I mean, I'm sure you took away a lot of experiences and a lot of things, but what is the one thing that you took away most from the experience?
That as I kind of allude to at the end of the book, there's a lot that I saw in them that was me at the time. And I'm not a musician. I don't even play an instrument. And so I'm not trying to claim that type of a deal. But again, what they were, I guess I identified with their struggle and their struggle to define their day every day and to define it with their art. And that's what I was trying to do.
Sure. It's definitely one of the things that has always attracted me to the music as well is it can be somebody like Leroy Virgil from Hellbound Glory, who we lived separate lives, but in the end, the core of what makes us tick and the core of what he's writing about is something everybody deals with.
I don't know if I can answer that. I think you put it very well, and that's what, you know, that's the relationship I had.
I should probably try to write a book. What do you think?
Yeah, I think sex in it, because, you know, that's really what would sell it.
Right. So, in your opinion, of the artists that you featured, do you see any of them being able to break that wall of mainstream and kind of kick open the door for a number of roots music artists, or do you think everybody's kind of like right where they need to be to keep the music that they're making pure, I guess is a good word.
Damn, that Nashville fortress, man. And I'm not trying to refer to, you know, the East Nashville. I'm talking about Music Row, obviously. And, I think that I don't think it's going to take an individual artist. It's going to take artists sometimes acting collectively. And I think that's what they need to recognize more of and do more of. One of the impressions I got from writing the book, Blake, is most of the artists don't have a clue as to what other outlaw or whatever you want to call them, alternative or roots or underground country artists are doing. Now, Shooter Jennings does because of his show. And he has to keep up on top of that music. And maybe Elizabeth Cook, too. But so many others don't, and there needs to be more of an exchange among these artists as to what they're doing, what's going on, even getting together for some shows and that type of thing. Some of that I've seen happen as a result of the book, but there needs to be more of it.
You know, after all is said and done, do you think Nashville will ever open their eyes? I mean, or do you think it's pretty much there's a machine that makes a profit and however that, you know, whatever sells is what's going to be out there? Or do you think that there's going to be a collection of people, I guess you could use like Waylon and Willie, you know, that 70s core that just kind of, you know, they just busted in a door and said, this is how it's going to be done? Or do you think that it's such a commercialized, very cut and dry, this is the temple that we use, and as long as it's making money, that's never going to change?
I think there's a chance that they might see the appeal of these outlaws and roots country artists, but if Music Row jumps on it, they'll jump at it from the sense of making money. I think we all know that's really what happened with Willie and Waylon. You know, Music Row saw a chance to make money from it, so that's when they started to pick up on those guys. So I have very great doubts. I think more it's going to have to be kind of a second channel, a second stream perhaps, that gets stronger and stronger, that runs side by side with what's happening in Nashville. And we've got this, this outlaw Music Hall of Fame that's starting up. And I'm on the board of directors with that. Gary Sargent, of course, is the mastermind behind it, and people from Sirius Radio and so forth are on it. Those kind of developments, I think, are going to be necessary to call more attention to this type of music and give it the attention it deserves. And I think it would be like a kind of an attention that goes along with what's happening in Nashville and doesn't eradicate it.
Right, and that's a great point, and it's it's a really good way to look at it. Is I don't think we should spend our time and energy so much is trying to break through, you know, the Nashville thing. And I think what we need to do is not so much try to break into it and take it over, so much as let's make our own thing, build our own thing up, and let's give it a run for its money.
I agree. And actually, if Nashville were to take it over, it might be a big negative.
Yes. Yes. You know, that's my fear. That's a fear that I have as well. Is yeah, let's. It would be great to have some of these artists break through, and but then what will that become? They might lose the control that they have. They might lose the ability to be as creative as they are, and so. Let's just make our own sidebar and just make a competition. It's kind of like the AFC and the NFC football. They used to have their own, conferences. One got better than the other. They had to join together, right?
That's right. I agree completely with that.
How has the book been received? Not only in the roots community, but overall in the music community?
Well, I'm just now starting to get a couple of reviews about it. You know, it's only been out a couple of months, so it's still pretty new as far as books go. And fortunately, the couple of reviews I've gotten have been very good. Dave Pilot, for example, at Outlaw Magazine wrote a very nice review recently. A lot of people who have gotten the book, you know, I don't know if this is a case of people have something bad to say, aren't going to tell you face to face or not, but the people I've heard from who have read the book and approached me on Facebook or I've seen at concerts, they're really happy with it and even enthusiastic about it, and the artists are really behind it. You know, Dallas Moore, God bless him, Dallas Moore is a type of musician who isn't just looking out for Dallas Moore. And, you know, he's promoting this book, not only promoting the book, but using it to bring together, as we were referring to before, the different musicians out there. You know, Whitey Morgan and Wayne Mills and Dallas and a couple of others who previously have had little contact with one another are now seriously talking about doing shows together and so forth. So I think it's been well received. Again, anybody who thinks of it as the Bible to outlaw country, it just isn't it.
Right.
And there's a lot of room for somebody else to go in there and write something else that deals with other artists. I would love to see it, other artists of this genre.
So, you know, in actuality, this book is more about a journey that you have taken through roots music, would you say?
Yeah. Yes. It's a very personal journey. It's really written on two levels, at least. First of all, the book is kind of loosely formatted around Willie Nelson's Redheaded Stranger LP. And it's written at two levels. The main level, and I think is the one that everyone would most likely tie into, is here's the story of this artist, that artist, you know, and so forth. But the underneath it is a whole different story. Yes, about my journey, but I think it's also about how music of this type or some other type can really help save a person, really. Can really transform a life, I think is a better way to put it.
Definitely. And I know myself, and I can name off hundreds of other people who have had the same experiences, and I think that's one of the things that keeps me in this genre of music is just because it's real life, and we all go through stuff, and a song might get you through the day, and that's all you really need to do is get through the day.
Exactly. You know, plus the other benefit, Blake, is that there's some good whiskey in those honky tonks.
Yeah. So the next.
Another benefit of the book, Blake, is some people are actually buying me free drinks when I go into a hockey tournament.
it's almost worth all the struggle you had to do to put it together, right?
Exactly.
You're like, buy me a beer and here's a here, here buy me a beer and buy a paperback of the version of the book. You got a few of them in your trunk, right? Always got a couple of them.
Always carry the books, and there's a music CD that goes with it. I should have pointed that out. I could put in a plug here real fast.
Sure.
Each of the 15 artists who are profiled in the book, their particular chapter revolves around, although it talks about their other songs, one particular song, and those songs are on this music CD that is released in conjunction with the book. So it's also like keeping books and CDs in my car. I don't have like T-shirts yet. Well, I was going to get some prophylactics. Yeah, you know, condoms made with Outlaw Still a little hard
hey,
on. But
that would be—that's an idea even I haven't used yet. So the most important information of the night. Where do folks go to get Outlaws Still at Large, a saga of roots country music since 1970s?
Well, if they're not going to see me in a honky-tonk and capture me, corner me by my car, the two best ways. The best way is to go to Amazon, Amazon.com, and you can, you know, obviously follow it through the title, Outlaws Still at Large, or my name, Neil Hamilton. Foreword to the book, by the way, is by Shooter Jennings, who did a tremendous job. And there's he just did a tremendous job with it. The other way is I do have a website, which is www.outlawsstillatlarge.com. And if you go to my website, I'll even autograph it for you and give you a couple extra goodies with the book.
Right on. We'll put the link up to that in the show notes. Neil, first of all, it was a pleasure to read the book. To be honest with you, this is the first book I have read in probably 6 years. So, but it was something that could keep my attention, which is, you know, for somebody with ADD, that's difficult to do. But it was an honor to finally get to be able to have you on the show. I wish you nothing but the best for the book and your journey that you take yourself and the trials and tribulations you've gone through. But you know, this book is what comes of that. You know, with the music, you put those two things together, and this book is what comes of it.
And the gasoline I went for, I'm hoping that Shell Oil Company and some others might help me out.
Well, hopefully you'll have a better chance than I do at sponsorships. I pigeonholed myself into something that, you know, there's only a select market.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate the opportunity, and thanks for the comments about the book. That it had that effect on you is and some other people too is more pleasing to me than selling X number of copies, so it's great to hear.
Awesome. Well, Neil, thanks again. Again, we will put the links to the website and to the Amazon link in the show, and we'll play a couple tunes on the front and the back of this interview from artists that were featured in the book. All right, Neil?
Yeah, that sounds great.
All righty. Thanks. Thanks a lot, man.
Thank you. All right, man. You take care.
I was born down South Kentucky, a hard stretch holler I called my home. Till my mama begged me, boy, don't you rap. My mama begged me, oh boy, don't you run. When I left that holler, I was just a boy, flat, broken, busted, and helping to make it on my own. Well, I couldn't go back home. I could hear that train, it moans a lonesome song. fast now since I hit the road. I can hear the whippoorwill, hear the dogwood, they calling me home. Oh, but mama, she's long gone. And I can hear old Hank, yeah, he gonna moan me that lonesome whistle song. And I'm heading up to Detroit on a freight train. Mama, I'ma finally be a man. I've been working 7 days building them Chevrolets. I'm doing the best I can. And I met me a little city girl.
Are you a blogger or a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web hosts? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code, Section 8686, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs.